Some of you, I know, are aware that when it comes to writing sermons, I write up a paragraph and a sermon title about a particular text anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 weeks in advance of preaching the sermon. I have done this from the beginning of my ministry going back 36 years. Not because I wanted to, but because in the first parish where I served as the assistant to the pastor, not the assistant pastor, but assistant to the pastor showed up one afternoon in my first week and said to me, "I need your little sermon paragraphs and title for the next 8 weeks." Really? Well, I have to say that it is a habit that stuck with me and one that I am thankful for, because it leads me to think about those sermon titles as I walk the aisles of Safeway, or I find myself maybe fishing in a stream, or talking with someone in the hospital. I see an example, an illustration, an analogy. Something comes to mind. Not always. Like, for instance, this past Monday, you know how people say nothing ever good comes in the mail? Well, something did, actually. And I knew right away I was going to use it in this homily where Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool. The man who tears down his barns to build larger barns because the land is so abundant, his harvest is plentiful. On Monday of this week, I received a report from the good folks at Portico. These are the people who manage every pastor's Evangelical Lutheran Church in America portfolio. I love to say that word. I never think of myself as having a portfolio. I don't manage this. They manage it. I was surprised that I received this on the fourth week of July, because I had just received the quarterly statement 2 weeks before that. But what had happened was Portico was changing vendors. They were going from one vendor who would create our statements and send them to us to another. And so they were sending us this extra statement because they wanted us to check to make sure that the deposit at the end of this last quarter was the same going into the new account. It was. My June 30th amount of money was the same as what went into the new account. But what surprised me was it included the next day, July 1st. And so from June 30th to July 1st, I made over $3,000. Well, I didn't. The people managing my account made $3,000 for me in one day. I stood there in my kitchen looking at this and going, holy, I think I said smoke or something. I was like, this is unbelievable. I said, $3,000 in one day? You know, if I could get $3,000 every day, I could retire immediately. I wouldn't have to worry about health care or anything else. I knew exactly how the rich man felt. I was about to tear down something, I don't know, and build it, you know, whatever barn that would be. And then, of course, you realize that the next day it lost $5,000. You know, that there's a volatility there that you have no control over whatsoever. It's not in your hands. And, what I actually thought about in regard to this sermon was, what if the next piece of mail I got was a quarterly statement from God on what it means to be rich toward God? And I stood there thinking about that for a while, and I kind of thought that the statement might read something like this. Wayne, here are those things that I value. Wayne, here are those things that I'm rich in and what I consider to be rich. Compassion. Compassion was down 5 points this week. Kindness was up 1, but mercy. Mercy was at an all-time low. And forgiveness, the negative was unbelievable. There were so many zeros behind the negative, I have no idea what it was. This is a parable that just about everybody, I think, gets it wrong. We think it has to do with money, but it doesn't. It has nothing whatsoever to do with money. And I'm going to ask you to turn to the back of your bulletin, as much as I don't like the fact that you can read that when I think the Word of God is one to be heard. I do want you to look at that text. I think we get so stuck on the guy building barns and then having his life required of him that night that we lose the whole track of what's going on here. What is the problem? The problem isn't greed. The problem certainly isn't money. The problem is that the land is so abundant. The land is blessed with abundance. Wow. The land is blessed with, that's a problem, isn't it? That we have so many blessings. What does it mean to be rich toward God? Well, I believe it has everything to do with forgiveness and grace and mercy and compassion and kindness and humility. I know for a fact that those two brothers who were in a dispute over an inheritance, I know that the dispute was not about, he's got too much forgiveness. He's got too much grace. I know that that wasn't it, was it? And you know that too. They did the right thing. They went to their local clergy person to settle a dispute, a family dispute over an inheritance. I don't need to tell you this, you know this. There isn't a family I know that received an inheritance and there wasn't some bitterness on the part of somebody in that family. It's one of those things that happens, isn't it? But I can guarantee you that those two brothers who went to their clergy person to settle this dispute, hey, Jesus, tell my brother to do what's fair. That's all we want, right? Tell my sister to do what's just. And if you're a clergy person, you should know something about justice. You should know something about fairness, right? You should know how to settle this kind of thing. I don't think Jesus settled it at all. In fact, he said, hey, who made me judge over you? Huh? And then told this parable, which I'm sure left everybody going, huh? Consider again what happens in the parable. The problem is that the land is so abundant, that the blessings of an abundant harvest. That's what we want, a land that's full of blessings. And when we stop and think about the blessings in our lives that come from God, let's just start at this table. Let's just start at the fact that you're getting forgiveness. I'd like to yell out here this morning, Jesus, why are you giving this forgiveness to so-and-so? What about a little compassion over here, huh? Oh, I got enough humility. No, thanks. I'm going to pass on humility today. What are the riches? We know what those riches are. We know what that God is abundant in grace and in forgiveness, in compassion and mercy and kindness. And to be rich toward God is to be grateful for this. It is not only to be grateful, but it is to be grateful by giving it away. Let me ask you this question. When Mary found out at 14 or 15 that she was going to be an unwed mother, a great blessing for all of us, do you think she was grateful? Yes, we know that. We know her song, the Magnificat, Mary's song. Being rich toward God is the recognition of the abundance of grace and mercy. In fact, God gives so much grace and mercy, you can't give it away fast enough. And yet that's what gratitude is it not? To take that blessing and to share it with others. This story is not about money. This story is not about barns getting bigger. This story is about how blessed we are by God's grace and forgiveness and mercy. And being rich toward God is giving that grace and that mercy and that compassion and that forgiveness away. You know, we have this pastor's discretionary fund in which we invite you to contribute to, and it's a little low right now, and we've had a number of people who have been in need this week. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a discretionary fund full of grace and mercy, forgiveness? Well, my guess is that if we had that, we would have a debate over who should be getting it. God never, ever debates over giving you or me grace or mercy or forgiveness. It is our inheritance by virtue of our baptism into Christ. So here's the thing. When I looked at that statement and I saw that in one day I had $3,000, I went nuts. I was like, wow, this is like the best thing that ever happened. I thought maybe I would retire before this sermon was written. I went nuts. You just inherited eternal life, my friends. Go ahead. Go nuts. Go nuts. Give it away. Grace, mercy, kindness, compassion, humility. This is what it means to be rich toward God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.